God is calling our church to build ministry that seeks the lost, makes disciples, and meets needs. I believe that one of the ways that God speaks to his people is through dreams and visions. In fact, Joel chapter 2 prophesies that in the last days, God will speak through dreams and visions. It's important to have God's vision for your life. The book of Proverbs says that if you do not have God's vision for your life, then you can ultimately perish spiritually, or that you could wander aimlessly until death. I don't want to wander aimlessly until death, and I know you don't want to wander aimlessly until death. Can I get a witness? Like we want God's vision for our life. And so as we were coming into 2021, I found myself praying a lot about, God, what is your vision for Three Trees Church? What is your vision for students' ministry, kids' ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry, small group, worship ministry, our church, hospitality, hosting people? God, what is your vision? And as I was praying about that, I really felt like the Lord kind of said three things to me. And I believe it applies specifically to our student ministry, but also to our church in general. And that is to refine the remnant, recover the wounded, and reach the lost. The book of Jeremiah says that God has a plan for us, a hope for us, and that it's a good plan, it's a good future. So when you get God's vision and you come in sync with God's plan, you know you're going to set yourself up for some good stuff. And when we've been meeting with our students, even leading up to Revive, we've talked to them a lot about how that we believe that God wants to raise up a remnant. And that as he raises up that remnant, it's going to be progressive. That they're going to be used by the Lord to go into their schools, maybe go into their families, this community, and help recover wounded people. And not only will they be used by the Lord to recover wounded people, but they will be used by the Lord to reach the lost. And so recovering the wounded is important, and reaching the lost is important. But for us, we really feel like first you got to have your team, right? You got to have your army. You got to get your remnant ready. Now that word remnant may not be a word that you're very familiar with. It may not be a word that you've heard talked about in church a lot, but the Bible talks about it a lot. In fact, the Bible uses the word remnant over 380 times. 380 times that word is used. Some of the prophets in Scripture, they are found to be repetitively talking about what God wants to do in and through a remnant. And I don't believe God's done using remnants, because I believe he has set a standard in the word that he uses remnants. In fact, all throughout Scripture, you will discover that more than God uses a majority, he uses a minority. In other words, he finds a remnant, and he goes to work in and through that remnant. Now, as we work our way back to that concept, I want you to think about something with me. There is something that sticks out in the Gospels. When you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see Jesus engaging with people and inviting people to follow him, you see something repetitively taking place. Jesus lets people leave him. Over and over again. Luke chapter 18, there's a rich guy, comes to Jesus. He's got the chance maybe to be the largest donor in Jesus' entire ministry. Jesus starts to have a conversation with him, realizes that he values his money over following Jesus, over having a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus is just like, you know, if you're not willing to kind of change your perspective and realign your priorities, then brother, we're just going to have to let you go. And the guy, very sorrowful, walks away, and Jesus does not go after him, even though he's a rich guy. Just lets him go. Luke chapter 9. That's a passage where you see it happen over and over again. There's a guy that comes to talk to Jesus about having a relationship with him, and Jesus perceives that the guy wants comfort, maybe more than anything else in the world. And Jesus says, I want you to understand something. I don't even have a place to lay my head. So if you're getting into this thing so you can have nice hotels and eat big dinners, wrong ministry. And Jesus just lets the guy walk away. The next guy wants to go and bury his father, and Jesus is like, let the dead bury the dead. And Jesus evidently perceives that the guy's interested in going back and shoring up some things financially and maybe getting his father's inheritance, and Jesus lets the guy walk away and doesn't go after him. There's another guy that Jesus is having the same kind of conversation with, and Jesus perceives that this guy's more about relationships
and community than he is actually following Jesus. And Jesus is like, you know what? You just need to go over there and hang out with your relationships, because this list of perspectives and priorities isn't going to work. Jesus lets the guy go. Like, doesn't even chase after him. Over and over again, you see Jesus letting people go. Sometimes don't you wish you had the gift of goodbye? I mean, because it can hurt when somebody leaves you. It can hurt when somebody walks away from you. But it's like Jesus just walks in this confidence of, if you can leave me, you're not of me. You actually see Jesus handle an approach to things being lost in very different ways based on how it was lost. So, look at this. Luke 15, three lost things. There's a lamb, and the lamb gets broken down in the field. He's hurt, he's wounded, he can't get back. So Jesus says, we should leave the 99 sheep that are in good shape and go get the one that's hurt, go get the one that's wounded, nurse it back to care, recover the wounded. Because it's hurt and it can't get back. It needs help. But then there's the story of the lost coin. And the lost coin has been lost in the house. It's in the house, but it's lost. And Jesus says what we need to do is we need to light a candle. It means like basically the lamp of the word. We need to sweep the house. That speaks of the wind of the Holy Spirit. And we need to find this lost coin. Let's find it. Because it's lost in the house. But then there's the story of a young man. He's a son. And this son, he gets rebellion in his heart. He starts craving the world. He's lusting for the things of the world. He gets his inheritance, and he takes it. He spends everything he has on riotous living. He winds up with the pigs. He's sleeping with the pigs, eating with the pigs. He smells like the pigs. His life is in the gutter. And nobody went to get him. Nobody. In fact, Scripture says that they waited for this young man to come to his senses, and he brought himself back to the father's house, and the father celebrated once he got there, but nobody went to get him. Why? Because you can't chase rebellion. You will never be able to do anything with rebellion until it comes to its senses. In fact, the reason for that is because the Bible says that rebellion is like unto the sin of witchcraft. And so when you begin to give your heart over to rebellion, you are literally stepping into a realm of darkness that is equivalent to witchcraft. You don't chase rebellion. And so what happens in these storylines is it's like, okay, you would have remained, but you got hurt unexpectedly. We're going to come get you and help you to remain. You remained in the house, but there's something lost going on in your soul. So we're going to make sure that we get you taken care of. But if you choose to walk away, maybe that's why the Bible says it is better to have never known the way than to have known the way and departed from it. Because if you leave the way in rebellion, maybe you're allowed to get what you thought you wanted until you come to your senses. And only then are you provoked and motivated to realize, I got to go back to Jesus. So here's a command that Jesus gives us. It's found in John chapter 15. It's round about verse 4. It says, remain in me and I will remain in you. The way that God wants to teach us is as we remain in him and we are faithful to his word. God doesn't want us to have to learn the hard way. But is there anybody else in here that's just a little bit hard-headed sometimes? Anybody ever been the prodigal that had to come home? Anybody ever been the fellow, the lady that you wound up out there with the pigs and you thought, man, it would be better for me to be a servant in my father's house than for me to be a slave to the world. Like, I'm going to get back home where I belong. So God prefers to teach us as we remain rather than us stepping into rebellion and having to learn the hard way. What it means to remain, John 15:4, remain in me. Jesus is saying, I want you to stay in me. I want you to dwell in me. I want you to lodge yourself in me. I want you to become unmovable when it comes to your relationship with me. I want you to remain. I want you to stay. Look at somebody and tell them, stay a while. Listen, God has good things for those who remain. Here's how I know that. John 15:7. Jesus says, if you remain in me and in my words, and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. So as you remain, your relationship with Jesus continues to be elevated and go to the next level and the next level and the next level. And it ultimately puts you in this place where that you get the authority to start asking for some stuff that would not have otherwise been given to you unless you had remained. Remain. Remain. Tell somebody else, stay a while. Stay a while. Remain. You understand, when the prodigal son left the house and he got in rebellion and he had to come to his senses before he came home, and the daddy got excited and threw a big celebration and began to celebrate the reconciliation that was taking place in his family, that the brother who had remained in the house got upset and said, why are we doing all this for him? Because he left. And the daddy looked at him and said, what is wrong with you? You remained here. You can have whatever you asked for. It's been available for you the entire time, simply because you stayed in the house while he was gone. Like, just because you remained. So I would encourage you to stay a while. But here's the problem with remaining. The problem with staying is that when you're under attack, when you're going through difficulty, like, it can become really challenging because you start to feel exhausted and you start to feel spiritually fatigued and you start to think, like, I just don't know how much longer I can stay here. I just don't know if I can remain while this thing is working itself out. You need to understand what Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 said. It said, for those that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. There's some good things if you just wait, but here's what I want you to notice. Isaiah, almost more than any other prophet in the entire Old Testament, uses the word remnant. In fact, he uses it over 20 times. Over and over again, Isaiah talks about how God wants to bless his remnant, how God wants to use his remnant. Did you know that this promise that we just read, Isaiah 40:31, is it not a great promise? Come on, wait on the Lord. He's going to renew your strength, mount up with wings as eagles. That's a great promise. But that promise is written in the context of a remnant. In fact, when you really deep dive into Isaiah 40, what he is saying is this promise is available to the remnant. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. What's it say? That's a great verse. You quote it, even though maybe you don't realize where it's located. It says this, that the anointing of God will destroy the yoke. That's a great promise. Bring that one into your prayer time. God, I believe the anointing of the Holy Spirit's going to destroy the yoke over my life. God, I believe the anointing is going to have an effect over the yoke that I'm wrestling with and I'm dealing with. That's a great promise. Did you know Isaiah chapter 10, over and over again, there's one word used and there's one audience that the prophet is speaking to? Remnant, 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 remnant. Do you know who is being told that the anointing will show up and destroy the yoke? The remnant. So we're starting to learn something. That the people who get their strength renewed, oh, that's the remnant. And the people who see the yoke destroyed, you guessed it, that's the remnant. Do you know what a remnant is? It is that which remains. So you might ought to just tell somebody again, stay a while. Because when God in the scripture is talking to a remnant, it's his way of saying, this is what I got left. Yeah. You may not look like much. I know I don't look like much. But honey, me and you, we what he got left. In case you haven't noticed, there has been a great falling away. Barna statistics in 2020 say this, that 1 in 3 Christians walked away from their faith within the last 18 months. You talk to people who are raising up churches, and over again, what you discover is that the majority of churches have lost over 30% of their congregations. Can't find them. They're not in the house. Can't find them in the field. They're not online. Gone. 1 in 3 completely walked away from their faith. 1 in 3. And so I get it. Like, nobody wants to talk about these things, and it brings awkwardness to the room, and it makes it a little bit weird, because we all want to focus on the fact that we're winning, right? Well, let me just explain something to you. There may be 1,000 fall at your left hand, and there may be 10,000 fall at your right hand. But as long as you remain, you are still winning, because it is you that will have your strength renewed, and it is you that will see the yoke destroyed over your life, and it is you that will ask, and it will be given to you simply because you remained. And I have felt a stirring in my spirit that there has been a testing season that has been going on. And I just want to believe that we are about to step into a season where that those that have remained are about to see a new level of potency come to their prayer life. And the things that they are asking God for are going to begin to come to pass at an unprecedented pace and an unprecedented rate, simply because God said, I have identified my remnant. I know what I got left, and I'm about to take that remnant and put the hurt on hell, because he's always said, all I need is 2 or 3. You just give me 2 or 3 that'll hold my name strong, and every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and every demon will flee. If I can just get 2 or 3, in fact, if I can just get 2 that will remain and agree, I'll give them whatever they, yeah. Remnant. Listen, I believe that God wants to reach a majority of people, but he's going to use a remnant to do it. I believe God wants to save the majority of your family, but he's going to use a remnant in your family to do it. With my whole heart, I believe God wants to turn these communities upside down, the state of Kentucky upside down, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he's going to use a remnant to do it. And it may grow and it may become exponential, but it will start with a remnant. It's how God always does things. He started with 12 people in the Gospels. By the time you get to the book of Acts, he's only got 120. But he put the Holy Spirit staying power down on the inside of them. And the Roman Empire learned lions couldn't eat it, fire couldn't burn it, and water couldn't drown it, because what God had left was worth waiting for. And the scripture says that remnant was added unto daily. Scripture says that remnant was multiplied daily. Scripture says that that remnant was always abounding, but it started with a remnant. Aren't you glad you're a part of what God's got left? Just tell somebody, stay a while. Whatever decision you make in life, always choose to be a part of what God's got left. Always make that decision. Regardless of what it costs you, or you feel like you're having to give up, regardless of how you're mocked or you're ridiculed or evil is spoken of you falsely, always choose to be a part of what God has left. Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, when speaking to 7 churches, that in those 7 churches, they're going to go through different things. But each church is told, if you will overcome, you're going to get something special in heaven. Literally, that's what it implies. What it's saying is not everybody's going to overcome. What it's saying is not everybody's going to remain. Not everybody's going to stay. Not everybody's going to wait. Some people, instead of overcoming, are going to be overcome, and they don't get the prize. But those who overcome, over and over again in the book of Revelation, he says, when you're in my church and you overcome, I got something special for you. And so the thing that I have noticed is in this last season that we have been in as a world, a culture, a nation, and beyond, The ideology of man has collided with the theology of God. And so you've got folks that have a lot of good ideas, but they're not God ideas. And what has transpired with that is there has been this cultural war that has had an overtone, undertone, every part of it saturated with spiritual warfare. And the reason that the enemy has been so effective is because people have unintentionally settled for motivational speeches that just happen to have a God slant. So they don't know the depth of God's word. And so then when they come under attack, they call evil good and good evil. Society is so confused that the same people who would try to save a tree will kill an unborn baby. That's crazy. But when you live in a culture and a world that's gone wild, sometimes you can start to feel like that you are grossly outnumbered. And so then you start backing away, backing away, backing away. Well, here's the thing. Darkness does not overpower light. Light overpowers darkness. Because we could be in this room with all the lights off, and all you got to do is flip one switch, light one candle, and suddenly light begins to permeate that darkness. It is not time to put your candle under a bushel and go away and hide so that we repeat the dark ages. It is time for the church to be the church. You are what God has got left. You are what remains. And I believe that the Lord fully intends to take you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet and adorn you with the power of the Holy Spirit and give you some stuff you've been asking for the glory of his name and the advancement of his kingdom. You ought to slap somebody a high five and tell them, stay a while. Stay a while. Stay a while. Our problem is we have succumbed to idolatry. Idolatry. I want, I will, I need, I prefer, I should, I could, I would, I. And so we come into a worship service, we can't even worship because I don't like that song. Can't even receive from the word of God because I don't like that style. I couldn't get anything out of it. It's just too loud in there. What are you going to do when you get to heaven and it's so loud that it's literally jarring the doorpost? Don't know where that came from. Okay. Idolatry. Idolatry. Now, what happens with our idolatry is I makes us fall into these fits of rage. I makes us think it's okay to be bitter. I makes it think it's okay to be offended. Am I making sense to anybody in this room? Like, I need somebody to get the memo that you are gonna have to stop bowing to the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. And at some point in your life, you're gonna have to live for somebody other than yourself. And that's the thing that has led to the falling away, is people stepping up and decreeing, I got to take care of me and mine. That's why you can't buy nothing when stuff starts breaking loose, because everybody got to take care of me and mine. I don't know who I'm trying to help this morning, but I came to tell you that there has to be the toppling of idolatry. And what there has to be is the surrender of that I am going to remain in the love of Jesus Christ and obedience to his word. And even when I don't want to stay, I'm going to stick around and I'm going to wait on the Lord. And I know if I get weak and I know if I get exhausted, in due season, he will renew my strength. And all this stuff that was making me faint and all this stuff that was making me weary and all this stuff that was yoking me down, he'll see to it that it's broken and it's destroyed if I'll just remain. Tell somebody, stay a while. I'm going to give you this and I'll get out of your way. I see a guy in Scripture that came against idolatry. He went down to youth camp and got on fire.
He came home and he's telling his daddy about what God's done in his life. And he's like, Dad, we got to get this idolatry out of the house. And we got to get it out of the backyard. And his daddy won't have anything to do with it. So he waits until his daddy goes to bed. He gets up in the middle of the night and he goes out in the backyard and he smashes all the idols. His daddy woke up and he's like, wow, oh my. Like, you're not playing, you're really on fire. It had such an impact that his father begins to believe the word that's being spoken over his son's life, and word begins to spread through the community because this was an influential family. And they're like, we have not only been tolerating idolatry, but we have been putting up with too much from the enemy. It is time to assemble a remnant army and take back what the enemy has stolen from us. And people begin to come from every direction. I mean, they're gathering from the north, the south, the east, and the west to hear what's going on in this young man's life. There they come. They're all around him. And this young man steps out. He says, we're going to do this thing for God. And God says, there's only one problem. There's too many people here. What? God, have you seen the enemy? Because everybody here is still not near as many as what the enemy's got. And God said, you tell them if they're afraid, they need to go home and stay there. And he looks out at this assembled group of people and he says, I just need to tell you, the Lord says, if you've got fear in your heart, you're not a part of his remnant. You need to go. Leave. And so everybody that had fear walked away. And he's sizing it up, and he's trying to make sense of it. And then the Lord says, there's still too many people here. Because there are people here that are posing as one thing, that are actually something else. They're not really a part of the remnant. They're just going to be a problem once spiritual warfare gets started. We're going to have to whittle this down a little further. Well, how are we going to do that? Send them over there to the river and tell them to get something to drink. So they go over to the river. There's about 30-something thousand men left. And right around 30,000 of those men go over to get water, lean over the river, and start lapping like a dog. Now, I could use a little bit of help here because this takes some humility, folks. Just lapping like a dog. Over here on the other side, there are 300 men. They reach down, they cup the water, head up, eyes toward the hills. And God said, Gideon, I want those 300. Send the other 30,000 home. And the story of Gideon's army unfolds because he is a young man who caught fire for God and assembled a remnant. But I've been thinking about it. This identifying measure that is associated with who is a part of the remnant and who is not a part of the remnant. That obviously fear cannot exist in the remnant. It's not a spirit that God's given us. It's focused on what we lost, not what we have left. So fear can, but this other thing, this other identifying measure of you can't just put your head down and lap up everything that's in front of you and not pay attention to anything that's coming over the hills. And I just couldn't help but just start to think how so often it's just our head down and we're just lapping up everything that's in front of us. And we get up in the morning with social media and the news feed, and we go to bed at night with social media and the news feed. And then we wonder why we're afraid, and we wonder why we don't see the enemy coming, and we wonder why we're so confused. And it's just head down, lap it up, head down, lap it up. I'm thirsty for more. Get a little bit more in my feed. I ain't checked it in the last 3 minutes. Just lapping it up, lapping it up, lapping it up. It's the first thing we see and the last thing we see. Head down, lapping it up. There is only one way that you can engage with any kind of thirst associated with this mess. It is going to have to be. Yep. Yeah. It's going to have to be with clean hands and your head up. You're not going to be able to take in everything that comes through this feed to your life, or you will not remain, you will not stay, and you will not wait. That yoke will ultimately have an effect on you that causes you to give up, give in, and give out. You got to get your head back up, get your hands clean, and get your heart pure and say, God, I want to stay a while. I'm tired of not having any intestinal fortitude in my faith. God, I want to be filled with an unction that says if you're for me, it doesn't matter what's against me. I'm tired of living in fear of what the enemy has to say, that the enemy that's against me is greater than the God that's in me. That's a lie, devil. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Choose to be a part of what God's got left.
I told myself I wasn't going to be rowdy today. The longer I've went, the louder I've got. I give you this, Psalm 24. They're going to play some music. And I want you to see God talking about a remnant. It says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Who's a part of the remnant that gets to go up? It is he who has clean hands and a pure heart. You do understand with Gideon's army, if you're drinking with your hand, it means you washed your hands first. You got your hands clean. Clean hands, pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation of those that seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, and the King of glory shall come in, who is mighty in battle. Do you receive that word over your life today? That God has something special for those who remain. Just keep ascending that hill into his glory. Keep taking that trek up. Father, there's so many things the enemy brings to our lives that tries to persuade us to not remain, to not stay, to not wait. Father, I think about how James said that the enemy would draw us away of our lust and entice us. That when the enemy can't succeed in one way, he'll try another way to get us to not remain. But Father, we are so grateful today that you are willing to use those who remain in faith and in love and in your word, even when we feel like we don't measure up, even when we feel like we're not the most qualified, even when we feel like, Father God, that we've had our own share of silly mistakes. That God, you are attracted to that which remains. God, somebody today needs to rededicate their life. They can relate to that prodigal. They can relate to the rebellion that's come in their life. They can relate to coming to their senses. And I thank you, Father, that today, as they lift a hand to you, that you are willing to give them a fresh start. To reconcile and restore. To reinstitute them as a part of your remnant. Father, somebody else, maybe they've never called on you as Savior. They've never called on you as Lord. And they've been serving the idols of their flesh. And they recognize that today. Lord, take them by the hand and spiritually lead them to your cross. Show them your blood. Show them the price you paid for our sin. And God, may they have the courage to call on you as Savior. And to serve you as Lord.
God, may they become a part of your remnant. And may you do exponential things in their lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I believe one of the best things we can do if we're going to remain, if we're going to stay, if we're going to wait, is to exalt the name of the Lord, to put God above everything, every good thing, every bad thing, to exalt Him. There's staying power that comes with it. When we choose to remain in a state of praise, in a state of worship,